since I laid my burdens down. Let's sing about it now. Yes, glory, glory. Good to be in church on Saturday night. What a privileged people we are just to be able to come to the house of the Lord to worship Him in spirit and in truth. Been a beautiful day on the outside. It's going to be an even prettier day in this building tonight. I believe the word of the Lord is going to come forth. I believe we're going to have a wonderful meal spread before us, and it's up to us what we do about it. Now, you've got about 30, 35 minutes here to really create a good atmosphere. How many of you going to work hard? Lay aside all the cares of that's going on today. We've entered into the sanctuary of the Lord to have church tonight. Somebody say praise the Lord. And we've got a special treat for you tonight. I didn't announce it. I meant to Wednesday night and it slipped my mind. But Brother Keith Buchanan and his family from Hickory, North Carolina, they are here to sing for us tonight. And we're so glad to have them. Amen. They're not really visiting. They have come home. Keith, God bless you. No, tell Brother Barry I said that. He'll get mad. But we're so glad to have you all with us today. I don't know exactly who all is with you, but we're certainly glad. I think more's coming in the morning. So we just anticipate a wonderful time here in the Lord tonight. We've got several prayer requests and announcements we want to make for you tonight. Thank you, Brother Scott. This is a card of appreciation from Sister Louise McKinney. Says, I want to thank all of my wonderful sisters and brothers in the Lord for the cards, the visits, the calls, the fruit basket during my recent hospital stay. I love you all, Sister Louise. Well, we love her too, don't we? Amen. Give her a nice hand tonight, if you would. Praise the Lord. Amen. Now, I've got to get my readers on. They told me my eye surgery went really well. But you will have to wear a reader, so I've got no problem with that. Amen. Rhonda Gisendanner says to please pray for my mother, Linda Stowe. She is having low oxygen and being taken to the emergency room, so we certainly want to remember that need tonight as we pray. Brian Gilbert sends this in to please remember me in prayer. I'm a streamer, and he was bitten by a deer tick, and they're just asking that we would remember him. He's in fear of Lyme disease, so let's pray that the Lord would take that fear away and that will not happen to our brother tonight. Amen. Eddie Jablonski Sr. called, said that his dad had surgery and asked for our continued prayer, so let's remember that. Please pray for Sister Judy Dyer, who is at home not feeling well tonight. Let's remember that. I got an announcement here we'll make just in a minute. Brother Jerry Glenn says to please pray for Brother Wade Altland. He is at home sick in body, so let's remember him tonight. Brother Randy Scott just wants to thank the Lord for continuing to give him strength to work. He's been so good. God bless you all, Brother Randy, so we praise the Lord for that. We want to thank God for our son Malachi, who is doing a lot better. Thanks to all the saints for praying. Brother Brandon Green sends that in, so we thank the Lord for that testimony. Don Forum sends this in. I ask you to pray for my mother. She's had a massive stroke last November that she never fully recovered from, and yesterday morning she had a smaller stroke and is back in the hospital. Things are not looking well. My request is that God, who is rich in mercy, will show mercy towards my mother and not let her soul be lost. This is my biggest concern. I ask for your prayers. Her name is Peggy Bear. So we certainly want to remember that need tonight. This is from Brother Don in Oregon. So let's remember that need tonight. Sister Donna Susong from Virginia called to request prayer for the family of her daughter's mother-in-law. She passed away on Thursday morning from complications due to poor circulation and blocked arteries resulting in a heart attack. She was 62 with three children. They had just recently lost their father. So we certainly will remember that need tonight as we pray. Sister Michelle Swafford asked for prayer for her grandbaby is very sick, other family members. So let's remember that need tonight. Please, this was sent in from Brother Danny Morangelo. Please pray for my niece, Sandra Bingham, who has 4-stage cancer, and she just wanted to manifest in her body the healing from the Lord Jesus Christ. So let's remember that need tonight as we pray. So we just commit all these things unto the Lord. Now we have a new CD, Brother Keith and his boy and girl. They're not boy and girl, they're men and women now. They have just absolutely grown up. But they have a new CD available, 10 songs. They've got some in the library. They're $10. Two of them's already been sold. There's 8 left over there. So if you want to get one after service, do that. And I'm sure they would appreciate it. And I know it'll be a blessing in your home, your automobile, wherever you play your CDs. But remember that tonight also. Let's stand tonight. If you have a need, something you'd like for this group to pray about, how many of you know we're serving a prayer-answering God? You believe it with all your heart, church. Somebody say praise the Lord. Let's give him another real good hand clap of praise tonight if you love him. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Brother Aaron Gilruth, come tonight. Take us to the Lord in prayer on behalf of these prayer requests. We'll just commit all these things unto the Lord tonight. Appreciate Brother Aaron, don't we? Amen.
Amen. Let's just bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we come before you this evening, Father, Lord, with thanksgiving in our hearts that once again, Lord, we get together with like precious saints of faith, Father, Lord, to join our little licks of fire together to come and to worship you tonight, Father. Lord, may we just put aside the day, the week that we've had, Father. Lord, may we just come and, Lord, just pull on your gift, pull the mercies out tonight, Father. Lord, we pray that you would just touch each and every request that's brought before you. Lord, we pray that you would just touch those, Lord, that's about to cross over, the loved ones concerned for their family. Lord, we thank you for the testimonies that's been given tonight, Father. Lord, we just pray that you would just touch the needs amongst the people tonight, Father. We pray that you would just minister to your saints, Lord. May you bless the song that would be sung, Lord, the words that would be spoken tonight. We pray that you just bless Brother Donnie tonight. May you just strengthen him, encourage him, lift him up, Father. Lord, speak to him tonight. Speak through him, Father. Lord, we pray that you would just come once again, Father. May we just give you all the honor, the praise, and the glory. In your name we ask it. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Aaron. God bless you. Ushers, if you'd like to come at this time, we'll receive the evening offering you give us unto the Lord. If you're visiting with us tonight in the service, we want to welcome all of you. Glad to have you. All those that would be streaming tonight, we pray this service would be a great blessing to those folks as well. Can we say it together? God bless our streamers. Give them a nice hand tonight, if you will.
I believe it's coming back like you said.
Let's sing that tonight. We've wore it out, but it's still true. Even tonight, I believe he's coming back just like he said. I heard Brother Branham say just a little bit ago, the coming of the Lord is our hope. That's all the hope we got. And that's the greatest hope we can have, is the coming of the Lord. It's not like it's just a backup plan. It's what we're looking for. It's what we're waiting on. Are you glad about it? Somebody say praise the Lord. Let's sing it tonight, buddy. We'll help you a little bit.
High upon a mountain, from where he ascended, the angel of the Lord.
Oh, yes.
Declared that it would be.
Amen, Brother Keith.
He said, "Don, you stand here grieving, cause this one that you
Before you're seated tonight, give Brother Keith and all these guys and gals a good hand as they get ready to sing for you tonight. Praise the Lord. We appreciate them, don't we? Amen.
Oh my, what a wonderful, wonderful atmosphere. It's so wonderful to know that we serve a God that comes and visits us in our place. No matter what you've been through this week, what troubles you may have faced, whatever trials you may have been through, it is such a solace to know that you can come here and He's here to wrap His loving arms around you. Bring greetings to you from the folks at Hickory and from my mother, who would love to have been here. Unfortunately, the schedule just didn't work out to where she could. And I'll quit fighting with this thing in just a minute here. But she says to tell everyone that she loves them. She streams every weekend, so she's right here with you. Amen. I don't have my band with me this morning. Usually got a few guys that play with us and go with us sometimes, but I figure we got some of the best musicians in the world sitting right up here on this platform, so that's okay. So just grab a note and hang on, boys. We're going to go a little old school on you tonight. When I was just a little bitty boy, I used to spend the summers out of school with my darling grandmother who used to come to church right over here. And she used to sing a song. And I always liked this song because it had a catchy tune to it. But once I got my own personal relationship with the Lord, then this song really meant something to me. And I believe this should be everybody's testimony, knowing what we know. Onward I'm going, happy in knowing that Jesus is mine.
I'm so happy as I travel on the right road to glory land. And I'm living so my life for Jesus will shine. Singing, traveling with an angel band. There's no sorrow in my heart, for Jesus is mine. Shouting and praising, raising glory divine. Glory divine.
Going to glory,
telling the story.
Jesus is mine.
Sadness,
joy, light,
let your light shine. Singing and shouting, evermore doubting, love so divine.
Love is so divine.
Marching with winners,
calling the sinners.
Jesus is mine.
He is ever mine.
I have been given treasures in heaven.
I'll not repine.
I shall not repine.
Onward I'm going, happy in knowing Jesus is mine.
I shall reach that happy shore, where with friends and loved ones I all manner will dine. I will forget my earthly trials as I join in that happy band, singing and shouting on that shore, for Jesus is mine.
Shouting and
praising,
raising glory divine.
Oh, what glory divine.
Glory,
telling the story.
Jesus is mine.
He's ever mine.
Heading for heaven. Sins are forgiven. I can repine.
I shall not repine.
There's such gladness.
There's no sadness.
Glory, light,
shall forever shine.
Singing and
shouting.
Evermore doubting.
Love
so divine.
Love is so divine.
Marching with the winners.
Calling the sinners.
Jesus is mine.
I'll sing that chorus again.
Shouting and
raising,
raising glory divine.
Oh, our glory divine.
Going to glory, telling the story.
Jesus is mine.
He's ever mine.
Heading for heaven. Since I'm born given, I can
repine. I shall not repine.
There's such gladness,
and there's no sadness.
Glory light shall
ever shine.
Shouting, evermore doubting,
love
so divine.
Love is so divine.
Marching with the winners,
calling the sinners.
Jesus is mine.
He's ever mine.
I have been given
treasures in heaven.
I'll not repine.
I shall not repine.
Lord, I'm going happy in knowing Jesus is mine.
Oh, I have been given
treasures in heaven.
Amen.
But it might be in my name, a shining legacy, a I thought it might be in a goal for success to follow me. I thought it might be in a plan to sail across the seas, but I didn't find what I really need. I found it all when I lost everything and gave my life to serve a risen King. I found the truth that I've been searching for. I found it all when I found the Lord. I'm letting go of all my ways that I think are best for me. I'm laying down all my ideas of what I think my life should be. I'm leaving everything I am right at Jesus' feet, for it's here I find everything I need. I found it all when I lost everything and gave my life to serve a risen King. I found the truth that I've been searching for. I found it all when I found the Lord. Everything and gave my life to serve a risen King. I found the truth that I've been searching for. I found it all when I found the Lord. I found the truth that I've been searching for. I found it all when I found the Lord. I found it all when I found the Lord.
Amen. How many believes that? Oh my. Money won't do it. Homes won't do it. New cars won't do it. There's only one thing that satisfied that thirst that I was looking for. The day that I found out that somebody, the Creator of all things, you know, people get all excited. I'm sure it'd be a great honor to have the President of the United States come to your home. But that takes a very special appointment and all sorts of strings to pull. But just think, the Creator of everything will come to you personally. Oh my, what a blessed people we are. We want to do one more for you. And this is another old school one. If you know it, just help us sing it. But I love this song, and it gets more and more real to me every day, seeing what kind of state that we're in. We know what's coming down the road. And I travel all over the country, and I'm on many roads and see many beautiful things. But there's no road like the glory road. And I will certainly say it is good to be on this glory road.
Is this road you're traveling?
Is it dark,
deserted? Is there hope for tomorrow? Put your trust in
Amen.
I can see. I can see.
Oh, I can see.
I can see
the lights of hope.
Lights of hope.
And I can see.
You glad we're on this road? I believe from where we're standing that if we'll stand from where we are and look back, we can all say we're a lot closer. We're a lot closer. And things are happening so fast that we could get from here to where we want to go pretty quick. Amen. So the main thing is to be ready, isn't it? Praise the Lord. Let's turn tonight, if you would, to the Song of Solomon again, chapter 2, verse 10. Certainly appreciate your prayers for our granddaughter this week, Eliana. She had her surgery on Thursday and did well. They had to cut out a little bit more than what they thought because of the scar tissue around her belly. So make her recuperate in time just a little bit longer. But certainly appreciate your prayers. She's on some pain meds, which is making her a little bit dizzy when she gets up, but we just appreciate if you just continue to pray for her, that the Lord will just be with her. He's our healer.
Yes.
That's right. Amen. Song of Solomon, chapter 2, verse 10. Now let's take this setting. We can look at it where we are naturally in the time of the year that we're in, officially in spring already. We can look at it in that sense, and then we can also look at it in the spiritual application of where we're going, that is to the land of the millennium, the spiritual regeneration. Jesus told his apostles that in the book of Matthew, when the regeneration comes, that you will sit with me. Strange word that he used. You'd think most of the time it would be new birth, but actually used it for the coming kingdom that was coming on the earth. So it helps us to see that there is a rebirth for that as well. My beloved spake and said unto me, rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. For lo, the winter is past. The rain is over and gone. The flowers appear on the earth. Now move from March in East Tennessee to the millennium. The winter is over. Sickness has been defeated. There's not one disease germ on the earth. So we step out on a paradise. The winter is past. The rain is over and gone. The flowers appear on the earth. The time of the singing of birds is come. And the voice of the turtle, which is the turtle dove, is heard in our land. The fig tree putteth forth her green figs, and the vines with the tender grape give a good smell. Arise, my love, my fair one, and come away. Amen. Praise God. I wish we could just leave now. Hey, I love church. Ain't nothing no better to me than church. But when it comes to rapture and the church, let's go in the rapture. We'll take the church in the rapture. Amen. Praise the Lord. How many would like to be remembered tonight? You got a need, a request on your heart, in your home, whatever it is. Let's just hold it in our hearts as we pray together. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your gracious love and your kindness to us, Father. Thank you for granting us the opportunity once again that we could come together tonight, Lord, to be able to sing and worship and pray and make our needs known, our requests known, our desires, petitions. And now, Father, we come to this part of the service, which is the Word of God. Lord, we ask you that you would help us. I'm sure every person thus far that has participated in this forefront of the service, Brother Louis, I'm sure that he walked up here with knowing that there's an understanding of a responsibility that's on him. The musicians knowing that they have the ability to be able to help create an atmosphere. Brother Keith and his family, those that have sung, Lord. We know, dear God, that one day we will stand before you and we will give an account for absolutely every service. Every time we've stood in this place, we will give an account for the things that we've done, the deeds that we've done in our body. We want them to be well, Lord. We want them to be pleasing to you. More than anything else in this world, we want to hear you say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." We know that it'll take you, Lord Jesus, to help us. Now as we look into your word, I pray, Father, that you would help us. Lord Jesus, I've studied, I've prayed, I've applied myself, I've done everything I know to do. Even to just a few moments before walking out here, Lord, just to fill my spirit with your word. But Lord, I just submit myself to you as a vessel. That's all I can do. I need you tonight, Lord. Help me. Speak to us your great word, Father. In the name of the Lord Jesus, we ask it. Amen. God bless you, saints. You may be seated. I know there's no way we can comprehend what is laid up in store for the people of God. And to think that we're still just talking about the honeymoon. But the honeymoon itself is so great, so profound, that God wanted to include such a great thing in his plan. That God had his prophets hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years ago to tell us things that are yet to be in the future. Things that are so profound, numbers that they used and measurements, especially with Ezekiel, and predictions and prophecies that were made that are so accurate that it's totally impossible for it to be given any other way than by the sovereignty of God. You've been listening to this and you know that already the scriptures and things that we've looked at for several weeks without end, one scripture after another, after another, after another, and some of these men never even knew each other. Some of them lived in one part of a country, others lived in another part, and yet they never got together to compile their writings. It wasn't even compiled until years and years after they left the earth. And yet their words so dovetail, and they would prophesy in such a way that some of them would say almost the same thing
And people even accuse him of plagiarism because the words they used were so identical to the words that the other man used before them 75 years before. Well, it's not plagiarism. It's just the same God speaking through different vessels. We believe he does the same thing tonight, do we not? And yet, when we look at what lays before us as the people of God, and we look around us at the trouble and the difficulty that we face every day of our life, our nation has never been in such a condition as it is as far as the grip of sin, the grip of darkness around the world, people every day taking their lives because life is not worth living anymore. People have to have substances of all type in order to be able to survive day by day. They have to have something to get up, something to go to bed. They have to have something to help them deal with everything they go through in life. We're in a sad, sad world. But I'll tell you what makes it even more sad to me than that is the greatest hope of all, and yet they turn him down. They will not listen. They will not even open their hearts to see what he can do for them. And yet the very thing the soul craves for is right here. It is right here without question. And yet people still go right on as if though there's something out here that they can find that will be able to satisfy something in their soul. Well, I'm going to go ahead and tell you, you will never find it because it's not out there. There's only one place it can be found, and that's in the Lord Jesus and his mercy. But yet, we know that some people, no matter how long they would live on the earth, that they would never wind up choosing him. Those that are resurrected in the millennium, that will be resurrected in the initial first weeks or months or year, whatever it is that it transpires, and they will begin their long journey on the earth in the millennium, and they will be privileged to live here for many of them hundreds and hundreds of years. There will be children, no doubt, that will be born down all through different stages of the millennium. So at the end, when it comes, there will be people that will almost be 1,000 years old, that will be some 600, some 700, some 800, some 500, some 300, some 200. There may be some that's just 40, 50, 60 years old. And yet all down through there, the gospel will be perpetuated through the kingdom of the Messiah. And they will be subjected to make them do it. They will be forced to come to the house of God, and they will be under a restraint, you know, because there's no devil there. There's no demons to anoint their thoughts. There is no enemy there to provoke them to rebellion, but they're still not born again. To me, one final view that God will absolutely decimate in the millennium, and that is that man constantly lays the blame on the reason that he can't live right, is the devil made me do it. But you understand, nobody in the millennium can ever fall back on that excuse. Because there won't be no devil there. So there won't be no drinking, there won't be no running around, there'll be no adultery, there'll be no hospitals, there'll be no sickness, there'll be nothing like that, and there'll be no devils that will make people do anything wrong. So it shows that that choice still lays in human beings, and many of them left to their own will absolutely go toward evil when evil is represented to them. And we know, of course, at the end of the millennium that Satan will be raised out of his prison. Many of those that have been made to be subjected to the millennium kingdom, whenever they get their choice and the opportunities presented to them, they will leave the kingdom of the Messiah and they will join up ranks with the devil. Can you imagine living on the earth for almost 1,000 years or several hundred years, and you are given the opportunity under the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ, and at the end of it, when you're finally given your choice and sin comes around, you choose sin. Well, in my view, you're not fit to walk down streets of gold. You're not fit, that type of a person. We know the grace of God is bountiful, it is wonderful, but God will never give grace to such an individual. There'll never be one type of person like that at all that are ever wind up in the eighth day, because if they were, in a month's time, the eighth day would be like the seventh day and the fifth day and the sixth day and all the rest of the days. So God will purge out finally purge out all of humanity that rebels against him. And God will destroy or decimate every final cause of sin. And Satan will utterly, eventually, in the end, be destroyed. All sinners, even the very thought of the wicked, shall perish. Then we go, of course, from the millennium, which is the seventh day, over into the eighth. Now, in the millennium, God has many, many things that are going to blend together or merge into the eighth day. So you've already looked at a few of them. But yet, tonight, we'd like to look at, by the help of the Lord, the millennium temple. Now, in the temple, it is very unusual in how that it is laid out. It is not like the eighth day, because in the eighth day, John said, I looked and I saw no temple, for the Lord God and the Lamb are the temple thereof. So there's no temple in eternity. Right. But yet there has been temples down through time. And of course we know that God started out with the tabernacle, and that was given to them, which is a temporary structure, which was moved from one point to another. And then of course they go into the solid stone building and on down through. We'll get that a little bit later. But God wanted this place on the earth by which the people of God would have a designated area where they could come and worship. And in the millennium, there will be what is identified as a millennium temple, or Ezekiel's temple, which is chapter 40 of Ezekiel, and it runs down through chapter 48. But yet in there will be many, many things which will have carryovers from the church ages, and yet it will be unique. And as we looked at it last week, no veil of separation, no showbread, no, many of those things will be gone. Only thing will be there actually will be the altar. And here in this, God will allow the priesthood of Zadok, the sons of Zadok, will be the ones which will minister whatever will transpire in the millennium temple, and they will be designated so much of the city itself. Now, I'm sure many of you have already been wondering, when you're looking at the circumference of this city, where is all the bride going to live? Because we're taking a great size in reduction in compared to the millennium temple in comparison to the city of the eighth day. Well, you take a city of the eighth day, which is 1,500 miles that way, that way, that way, and this way, and that way. Now, we reduce it down to one, which is a mile by a mile by a mile by a mile, and possibly a mile this way. And we look at it with the circumference being around 34 to 36 miles, something like that, as far as the base. Where in the world are all these people going to live? But remember, the millennium in this type is not to reflect eternity. It is more like, the millennium is going to be more like the setting of the Garden of Eden. And in the Garden of Eden, it was the first government of God ever delegated upon the earth as far as dealing with Bible times. And in that, it was not going to be like a heaven, but it was a paradise, a place of rest, a place of pleasure, a place of small labor. When I say labor, I don't mean laboriously working and sweating and tired and all that sort of thing. And the millennium is going to be a recapturing of what the Garden of Eden was, except for tens of millions of people on the earth instead of one man and one woman. So it is not going to be like, for those of you that have been pondering and wondering about in your mind, how is all the bride going to be able to live inside that city? Where's everybody going to be? Now remember, you are going to build your own house in the millennium. There again, it's different in the eighth day. In the eighth day, he's already gone to prepare it for us. So that city will be coming down to cap off the mountain, which will push up out of the new creation. In the millennium temple city, actually the Mount of Olives will push up. It will join up with Mount Moriah, and there will be the highest place on the face of the earth. Everything will pretty much be hills and valleys and plains. But it is not intended to be an exact replica of the city in the eighth day. So in comparison, it will be really very, very small. But it is not going to be where all of the elect down through the ages, there's no way they'll all live inside a place that small. And we know that God planned on doing this, and of course it was in his mind, and seven is completion. So God will complete the very plan that was started in the Garden of Eden, started thousands of years ago, and the millennium is the last day of the full week of time that God has been dealing now with the cosmos, the world order on the earth. So the millennium closes all of that out. So God has very many things and significance of what he wants to be able to fulfill in the millennium. Now in this temple, it will be no doubt a beautiful place. It will be a temple city. It will be the priest king, which will be the son of David. And there the presence of God will bring back the glory, the Shekinah, that will come back upon the earth. And the same prophet that saw it leave out of this temple in the book of Ezekiel was the same prophet of God that saw it come back. Now, never do you find when God writes Ichabod over a door that God ever returns again. Whenever God left, of course, the tabernacle, he went to another phase. When he left Solomon's temple, he went to another phase. When God leaves the church ages, when they form an organization, God leaves. You never find God going back in there again to start another move of God. Once God leaves it, it's done. Right? So God then condemns that house. Ichabod is written over the door, and then God moves to another phase. So God will complete the last phase of an earthly house or a tabernacle that will be upon the earth. And once God does that, then eternity, we go into the real thing of what it was in the beginning prior to the fall. Now remember, Adam and Eve went to church and they went into the presence of God, but it was not actually a building like we have here tonight. When they went to church, they went up to a canopy of forest, and there was trees, and there was birds singing, there was animals, and there was all types of nature, botany life, animal life there, but it was not a house anything like this. Now, do we thank God for places like this? We do, but they are only given in time. Now, this house is designated to make it different from every other house around here. Probably some of the two befores, some of the block came from, of course, Bolton block, and the carpet come from wherever more in the wood. It come from some of the same forest, maybe that another oak tree right by went and made a table for somebody's living room. Or it might have made a bar in some bar somewhere. But yet God wanted us to build a house and be able to sanctify that house where his presence could come. But it is only given temporarily because of the evil that is on the earth. So our four walls are significant in that it is set aside and sanctified so that we could have this place to worship the Lord. I don't know about you, I wouldn't feel comfortable going into a bar tonight and go to singing gospel songs and go to getting down on my knees and praying. Would you all feel comfortable doing that? I wouldn't feel comfortable going to some type of worldly atmosphere of some type of something or other. It'd be terrible. So this is a sign of sanctification set apart where we have this place for the house of God. Yet in the eighth day, everything there will be holy. Everything there. But in the millennium, because everything there is still not sealed unto the day of redemption, you still need a house that will separate. So there will be people living on the earth and they will build their houses. Yet every person living there is not seed of God. Every person living there is not going to be redeemed in the final stage when it's all said and done. You follow me? So in the millennium, we still need a consecrated, separated place that is designated as containing the house of God or the presence of God. So in there will be this great Shekinah, and there the glory of God will return as Ezekiel saw it there on the river Shabar. But yet, and we move into the eighth day, there will be all sinners will be gone, all time will be gone, everything pertaining to time will be fully redeemed. So we no longer need a particular house and said, well, God is right here. God is right here inside this house, and there is where God meets us. Well, in that day, when it comes to that, the entire earth will be fully redeemed. All the universe that is left will be fully redeemed. Everything will come right back into the circle of eternity again. So there will not have to be a certain house or even just a certain people. Well, God lives in them people, and these foolish virgins out here, God ain't in them, but God loves them and he cares for them. He don't want them to perish, but yet they're not sealed with the Holy Ghost. In eternity, everybody there will be holy. Everybody there will be in the realm of eternity, in the realm of eternal life. So there's no need for a temple or a house of God or a church where God will particularly meet in that particular location. But until the millennium is over, there are spots on the earth that God will meet with his people. I'm just glad we got one of them. Well, praise the Lord. Aren't you glad God's got them scattered all over the world where the saints of God meet? Now, let's take a view, if we can, tonight of this millennium temple. Ezekiel 42:15, and when he had made an end of measuring the inner house, he brought me forth toward the gate whose prospect is toward the east, and measured it round about. And he measured the east side with a measuring reed, 500 reeds with a measuring reed round about. He measured the north side, 500 reeds with a measuring reed round about. He measured the south side, 500 reeds with a measuring reed. And he turned about to the west side and measured 500 reeds with a measuring reed. He measured it by the four sides, and it had a wall round about. Now already you see similarities to the city of the eighth day. He measured 500 reeds with a measuring reed, and he measured it by four sides, and it had a wall round about, 500 reeds long and 500 broad, to make a separation between the sanctuary and the profane place. Now notice this, 500 reeds then is 3,000 cubits, which is about 5,000 feet, 5,280 feet in a mile. So it's almost a mile long then, a mile square. So you go a mile, a mile, a mile, a mile. So the temple site will be 1 mile square, but the land surrounding the temple will be 52 miles by 21 miles. So now it's very elongated because it's a parallel of the land itself. Now, as I mentioned to you already, that the tribes of Israel, when they come into the land of Israel, Dan might have a little pocket over here, and then Judah have a little pocket over here, and then Naphtali have a pocket, and it was all kind of jumbled up like that. But when we come to the millennium, the boundaries are totally different. They run this way, exactly perpendicular, one on top of the other. So whenever they come down, you start at the top and run down. Never in all their time of possession did any king ever reign fully over the divine given promised land that was made to Abraham. They were to go from one sea to the other, from the Nile, of course, over to the Tigris or the Euphrates. They never inherited that full portion, but they will in the millennium. Now, their lamb will run like this, seven tribes, and then you, of course, have got the tabernacle or the temple that divides in the middle, then you got five below it. So here we look then, the mountain, it will be a mountain of the Lord, and it could easily reach 1 mile high, and the angle of ascent would not be very difficult at all. Notice Ezekiel 43:1, at your word he brought me to the gate, even the gate that looketh toward the east. And behold, the glory of the God of Israel came from the way of the east, and his voice was like a noise of many waters, and the earth shined with his glory. Now the same prophet that saw the glory leave is the same prophet now seeing it come back, not to where he left from, but coming to a new house of God. Amen. And it was according to the appearance of the vision which I saw, even according to the vision which I saw, it came to destroy the city. And the visions were like the vision that I saw by the river Shabar. And I fell upon my face. And the glory of the Lord came into the house by the way of the gate whose prospect is toward the east. So the Spirit took me up and brought me into the inner court. And behold, the glory of the Lord fill the house. So here again in time, we still have God designated a particular place by which his Shekinah will be allocated, and there is where it will remain. And God will actually change the name of this place and call it Jehovah Shammah, Adonai Shammah, which is the Lord is there. So is not God everywhere? Yes, God is everywhere by omnipotence and omnipresence, but yes, the Shekinah will only be in this particular place. Amen. So it is a spot on the earth, even in the seventh day. I hope this helps you to understand tonight. Even in this church age that we're living in, that mighty God has got places, let me say it this way, tabernacles, temples, bodies that are retaining tonight his glory, his Shekinah, the glory of God living in human beings. Now watch as this being measures the circumference of the wall. And these are the goings out of the city on the north side. 4,500 measures, Ezekiel 48:30. And the gates of the city shall be after the names of the tribes of Israel. 3 gates northward, 1 gate of Reuben, 1 gate of Judah, 1 gate of Levi. Now if you'd like to write this down, you can write it on down and read the rest of it on down to verse 35. It was round about 18,000 measures, and the name of the city of that day shall be the Lord is there, or Jehovah Shammah, or Adonai Shammah. So here he is. Now God will actually cause the name of the city to be renamed. But what will be the name of it? It will be identified by his presence. So you see, it's not the dirt that's so much holy. It's not so much the Jerusalem stone that makes it holy, but it is the presence of God. What is it that makes you holy? Oh my, we look at our sisters, we have certain length of our dresses, and we ought to do that. Our hair identifies us, we ought to do that. But a person could do that and still not be holy, still not set apart. What sets us apart from the rest of the world is not just our own personal sanctification. It is when the glory of God comes in our tabernacle, that is the seal that our sanctification is accepted in the eyes of God. It means that God accepted your repentance of faith, and that God accepted you laid aside this and that and the other, and then God comes and sets your soul apart from time. Don't you understand? God sets your soul apart from time and seals your soul to the day of redemption, and in your soul it could be Adonai Shammah. He is here. Hallelujah. Is he everywhere? Oh, sure, but I'm the president. Is he in every heart? Nope. Is he in every church? Nope. But is he in some? Yes, he is. Praise God. Now remember, this is going to need to be quite a large place in this millennium temple. Now, as I said, it will not be, of course, in comparison to the city, because the bride, the elect of the age, will reside in the city in the eighth day. Just me, this is just all it's worth, you know, it's just me. In my view, I'm not sure that all the elect are even going to live in this city if when it comes there. Because it's going to be more like Adam, it's going to be more as it was in the Garden of Eden. And there, when you look at the property allocated to the prince, and the property allocated to the sons of Zadok, there's not that much room going to be inside of there. May it be special people like Paul and Moses and Abraham and whoever. I don't even care. Jealousy won't even be there. So if I have to live outside the city limits in the millennium, I'm fine with that. I don't care if I work for the city and pick up garbage. I'm fine with that. I don't care where I got to live. I'm going to be there, and I'm going to enjoy every day of it. You ain't going to find me going around my lips all pooched out because I didn't get to live in the Millennium Temple. I don't deserve none of his grace. I don't deserve not one thing that God's done for me. So whatever he gives me, I'm going to thank him for it and say, praise God. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound. Notice now Zechariah 8:20. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, it shall yet come to pass that there shall come people, and the inhabitants of many cities, and the inhabitants of one city. Now look, there's going to be many cities in the millennium. Jerusalem is not the only city. There will be many cities spread all over the face of the earth. And these people have got something really very strange on their mind. No matter where they're from, they got going to church on their mind. That sounds like my kind of people. I told Carol, who is coming to church tonight, if half the church people, if they got one little small percentage of how important it is going to church like the devil does, I think they'd be more faithful. There ain't nothing you'll ever do in life that the devil will fight you any harder after you're saved and filled with the Holy Ghost than going to the house of God. He won't fight you over going to Walmart and going to KFC and going out to get you a big fat hamburger to make you big and fatter. But boy, you talking about going to the house of God, you talking about going to church, everything in the world comes up to hinder you. Of course, it don't take much to hinder some folks. Amen. Now, notice, and the inhabitants of one city shall go to another, saying, let us go speedily to pray before the Lord and to seek the Lord of hosts. I will go also. So they're in such a fervor. They're in such a passionate desire that they actually go from one city to another. So it'd be like somebody from Johnson City going to somebody in Bristol. And remember, I heard the prophet said the day before yesterday, there's not one car, there's not one automobile, there's not one airplane. How in the world are these folks going to travel? Let us go speedily and pray for the Lord. Hey, don't look at me. I'm asking you. I don't have the answer. Before the Lord and to seek the Lord of hosts, I will go also. Yea, many people and strong nations shall come to seek the Lord of hosts in Jerusalem and to pray before the Lord. So there's only one place. Now remember, one place set aside, sanctified by which the Shekinah will be there, and that is in Jerusalem. So if you live in the United States, you make a trip over. But there's only how in the world? I don't know. That's up to God. Maybe they'll travel like a thought. I'm not sure what they'll do, but He'll provide a way. Amen. Verse 23, thus saith the Lord of hosts, in those days it shall come to pass that 10 men shall take a hold of all language of the nations. Even they shall take a hold of the skirt of him that is a Jew, saying, we will go with you, for we have heard that God is with you. Well, brother, they sure don't do that now. They hate him. Oh, but the time will come that if there is any Arabs and Muslims and sons of Ishmael that get raised in the resurrection, they'll be glad to be identified with the seed of Israel. Now, I found this, I thought it's quite amazing that the city itself will actually be called by several names. I want you to notice Isaiah, how he does this. Isaiah 126, and I will restore thy judges at the first and thy counselors is at the beginning. Afterward, thou shalt be called the city of righteousness. Now, God is speaking to Jerusalem as if though it had a personality. So God is speaking to the city and said, I'll restore your counselors and your judges at the beginning. And afterward, thou, speaking to Jerusalem, thou shalt be called the city of righteousness. And Isaiah does a funny thing here in the way that he runs doubles down through a couple of these verses here. The city of righteousness, and then he gives it another name, the faithful city. Now God is actually contrasting in the millennium what happened to Israel in their church ages. Remember, the children of Israel in the Old Testament, they had church ages. Right? Began with Solomon, ended up with the Lord Jesus. In the days of the Lord Jesus was the Hebrew Laodicean age, and they threw him outside the church. But Peter, James, and John accepted him, and of course they went on to be the bride age. Now, in this, then the children of Israel rejected God, and it became a city of unrighteousness. But God said, now tell you what I'm going to do. You all turn this place into filth, rottenness, and I destroy it. But I'm going to turn it into a city of faith and patience and righteousness and truth. Notice God said, thou shalt be called the city of righteousness, and also, Isaiah says, the faithful city. Isaiah chapter 60 verse 14, the sons also of them that afflicted thee shall come bending unto thee. Now remember, here will come some of the mobs of Muslims and Muslims rather, and some of the sheikhs, you know, of Islam and this and that, that maybe never had the opportunity to hear about the Lord Jesus, and they will be raised up. And it was their fathers on back that come against them. And they all that despise thee shall bow themselves down for soles of thy feet. And they shall call thee the city of the Lord. Again, he does it in parallel. The Zion of the Holy One of Israel. Praise be to God. Isaiah 62:4, thou shalt no more be turned forsaken, neither shall thy land be any more turned desolate, but thou shalt be called Hephzibah, which means thou hast found favor. Hephzibah, and thy land Beulah, which means married. For the Lord delighteth in thee, and thy land shall be married. Praise God. Isaiah 62:12, and they shall call them the holy people, the redeemed of the Lord. And thou, speaking again to the city, thou shalt be called salt out. Amen. Thou shalt be called salt out. Again, he does it double. A city not forsaken. Jeremiah 3:17. At that time they shall call Jerusalem the throne of the Lord. Look, friends, I don't care what the Palestinians say. I don't care what our country says. This is the word of God. It will come to pass. Amen. At that time they shall call Jerusalem the throne of the Lord, and all the nations shall be gathered unto it to the name of the Lord to Jerusalem. Neither shall they walk any more after the imagination of their evil heart. Oh, you think you long for this? What about Almighty God, which has had this in His being before there was ever a world? Zechariah 8:3, thus saith the Lord, I am returned unto Zion, and will dwell in the midst of Jerusalem, and Jerusalem shall be called a city of truth. Notice the latter part of that verse gives it another name, the mountain of the Lord of hosts, the holy mountain. Again, Ezekiel 48:35. And it was round about 18,000 measures in the name of the city. From that day shall be the Lord is there. So the name shall be no longer Vision of Peace or City of Peace, but the Lord is there. His visible presence was withdrawn, but now His visible presence will return again. Praise be to God. Oh, don't you love Him tonight, church? Notice where the throne is going to be. Now, in this is going to be very unique. King Solomon, as I looked at it last weekend, King Solomon actually built his palace by, of course, the tabernacle and placing his throne right there next to it, the temple that he built. But unlike that, this one will actually be inside the consecrated place to the presence of God. Jeremiah 3:17, at that time they shall call Jerusalem the throne of the Lord. So the throne will be inside this temple city. Now, there's been many, of course, heathen temples that have been back down through time, and this idol worship, which has built something very similar, in that they would make a temple city for their gods, and then their kings would be the pontificate, or that one which was set up in the stead of that god, which will be the temple, of course, during the time of the tribulation period, when Satan will set himself in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. But notice in verse 7 of chapter 43 of Ezekiel, he said unto me, Son of man, the place of my throne and the place of the soles of my feet, where I will dwell in the midst of the children of Israel forever, and my holy name shall the house of Israel do no more defile, neither they nor their kings by their whoredom, nor by their carcasses of their kings and their high places. Can you imagine, friends, when there'll be a time on the earth when everybody believes the same doctrines? I'm about to pass out. Oh my goodness. Can you imagine unified worship? Nobody's praying to the Father. Somebody else praying to the Son. Somebody else praying to the Holy Ghost. Somebody else praying to Allah. Somebody else praying to Buddha. It will be a unified worship over the entire earth. Notice Isaiah 45:23. I have sworn by myself, the word is gone out of my mouth in righteousness. Chew on this one for a while, devil, and shall not return. That unto me every knee shall bow, every tongue shall swear. I'm glad I'm doing mine now. All these agnostics, infidels, all these folks that believe in Darwinism, huh? They'll throw Darwin and themselves wind up going to hell. Now, I'll tell you, oh, Darwin, you know what? You realize Darwin started out in church. You didn't know that? Yeah, Darwin started out in church, baptized in church. And Darwin, in the latter years of his life, realized he'd made a terrible mistake by introducing what was later to be believed as Darwinism. And yet we realize the world today, grasping at every, what's a scientific fact, Brother Donnie? It's scientific like I'm a 6-foot roll of bologna. Bring your knife if you'd like to try me. It ain't scientifically proven. You cannot scientifically prove there was an amoeba out in the middle of a green pond scum billions of years ago and it got up. Look at the human body, how it's made. Look at your eyes. Look at your organs, how they correlate. Can I bring a pile of lumber here tonight and put some boards and see if they'll think themselves together and make me another pulpit? Can I bring a stack of blocks and sheetrock and wiring and let it just think about it? Let that stack of material think about it, and maybe it'll make us a new fellowship hall. Maybe it'll make us a new house, but it won't do it. Well, and why? Because the law does not lay in the material. It only lays in the Almighty God who brings it together by creation.
Tell what you brothers do. You try the theory of Darwinism on your honeydew list. Get your wife's honeydew list. Go to Lowe's, Home Depot, buy the material. List one, list two, list three, list four. Just pile them up around the house and tell her, honey, I'm waiting on this to kind of all come together. I'm just seeing what's going to happen. Watch for that number size 9 frying pan. Will it happen? Of course you know it won't. Did it happen to us? Of course it did not. The word went out of God's mouth. It will return to Him, my brother, sister, fulfilled, not void. Amen. Notice, surely shall one say in the Lord of our righteousness and strength, even to Him shall men come. And all that are incensed against Him shall be ashamed. In the Lord shall the seed of Israel be justified and show glory. Oh my. Notice this in chapter 52 verse 1. Awake, awake. Put on thy strength, O Zion. Put on thy beautiful garments, O Jerusalem, the holy city. For henceforth there shall no more come into thee the uncircumcised and the unclean. We sure can't say that now since the Mosque of Omar stands there. Do you understand a Jew is not allowed by law to walk on the holy temple site? They get arrested. They're not allowed by law to walk up there. Now you can, a Gentile. If you're a Muslim, you can. But not a Jew. They're not allowed to walk up on where their holy temple set. God said, don't worry, I'll redo that for you one day. And he said, as a matter of fact, there'll be none of them woke up if they still got that attitude. Right. Notice, oh my, I love this. Isaiah 66, 20. And they shall bring all your brethren for an offering to the Lord out of all nations upon horses and in chariots and in litters and upon mules and upon swift beasts to my holy mountain, Jerusalem. Saith the Lord, as the children of Israel bring an offering and a clean vessel into the house of the Lord. Can you imagine the children of Israel will offer these people to God? Now they're not going to cut their throats. They're going to come in and say, are you a Jew? Yes, I'm a Jew. You're the seed of Abraham. I am. Can we go to church with you? Sure. Come on. I'll present you to the king. Praise be to God. And I will also take of them for priests and Levites, saith the Lord. As for the new heavens and the new earth which I make shall remain before me, saith the Lord. So shall your seed and your name remain. And it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another. Notice how Isaiah, he jumps from chapter 65 to the beginning of chapter 66, runs to the eighth day. Down here in this part, he runs right back to the seventh day. From the new moon to another, from one Sabbath to another, shall all flesh come to worship before me. How in the world will everybody on the face of the earth go to the same church? God don't believe in church splits in the millennium, does he? And we'll be one split off over there and one split off over there and then go down the road and start another. They said, no, if y'all going to church, you're going to my house. Well, praise the Lord. You imagine how in the world will they all get there? I don't know. How
trouble that it accommodate everybody. You look out on the earth, friend, and as far as you can see, the mass of humanity, every one of them bowing their knee, every one of them worshiping. Can you imagine with millions of human beings on the face of the earth and they're worshiping God? Oh. Zephaniah chapter 3 verse 9, for them will I turn to the people a pure language that they may call upon the name of the Lord to serve him with one consent. Zechariah 2:4, and said unto him, run, speak to this young man, saying, Jerusalem shall be inhabited as towns without walls, for the multitude of men and cattle therein. Oh my. For I, saith the Lord, will be unto her a wall of fire round about, and will be the glory in the midst of her. Verse 10. Sing and rejoice, O daughter of Zion, for lo, I come, and I will dwell in the midst of thee, saith the Lord. And many nations shall be joined to the Lord in that day, and shall be my people, and I will dwell in the midst of them. Thou shalt know the Lord of hosts hath sent me unto thee. Verse 12. And the Lord shall inherit Judah, his portion in the Holy Land, and shall choose Jerusalem again, from where the holy temple / throne. Zechariah 2:13, be silent, O all flesh, before the Lord, for he is raised up out of his holy habitation. Ezekiel 34:25, I will make them a covenant of peace, and will cause the evil beast to cease out of the land, and they shall dwell safely in the wilderness and sleep in the woods. And I will make them in the places round about my hill a blessing, and I will cause the shower to come down in his season, and there shall be showers of blessings. And the tree of the field shall yield a fruit, and the earth shall yield her increase, and they shall be safe in their land, and shall know that I am the Lord when I have broken the bands of their yoke and delivered them out of the hands of those that serve themselves of them. Praise be to God. Praise be to God. Can I have a little bit more time? I was going to take it, but it's awful nice of you to give it to me. Now, beginning in the year 1444 B.C., up to the year 1100 B.C., we have God's first place of worship on the earth called the Tabernacle of Moses. Exodus chapter 40, verse 33. He reared up the court round about the tabernacle and the altar, and set up the hanging of the court gate. So Moses finished the work. So then a cloud covered the tent of the congregation, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And Moses was not able to enter into the tent of the congregation because the cloud abode thereon, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Now, but then after that time, of course, David went up and got the house of the Lord and brought it up to his place some years after this. But the second one was the Temple of Solomon, which dates from 959 to 586 B.C. Now watch 1 Kings chapter 8 verse 10. And it came to pass when the priests were come out of the holy place that the cloud filled the house of the Lord. Now here's the dedication of Solomon, simple. So that the priest could not stand to minister because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord had filled the house of the Lord. Then spake Solomon, the Lord said he would dwell in the thick darkness. Then of course it's destroyed in 586 B.C. by Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonians. Then we have the temple of Zerubbabel. Ezra chapter 5, you'd like to write it down, which was later enlarged by King Herod. So it's dedicated 516 B.C. Then when Herod comes along, he adds onto it, modifies it, makes it quite beautiful. 46 years he actually spent remodeling it. And it stood until 70 A.D. But now when we get to this, notice where we are now, third temple on the earth. Notice when they dedicate it, Ezra 6:16, and the children of Israel, the priests and the Levites and the rest of the children of the captivity kept the dedication of the house of God with joy and offered at the dedication of this house of God 100 bullocks, 200 rams, 400 lambs, a sin offering for all Israel, 12 he-goats according to the number of the tribes, and they set the priests and their divisions and the Levites and their courses for the service of God, which was at Jerusalem, as is written in the book of Moses. And where's God? Where's the glory of God? Guess what? It wasn't there. Now where's the menorah? Where's the ark? Still not there. Well, I'm sorry y'all didn't know this. Now what's temple number 3? But let's move to temple number 4. The temple of the body called the Lord Jesus. Dates 4 BC to around 32. It's hard to say really what the year was. I know a lot of folks don't believe in him. They make fun of us who do. But every time they sign a check, it's based on him. You know why? He divided history. BC stopped with him. AD started with him. Let them laugh. Every time they sign something, every time they put a date on something, and it's history, say it real slow and divide it properly, it is his story. His story, history, that's right. Now notice, so here comes the fourth temple of God. It is not made with timbers, it's not made with stone or mortar, but it's created in the womb of a virgin girl. Notice Matthew 3:16, and Jesus, when he was baptized, and went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove, and lighting upon him, and lo, a voice from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Now here we see the reappearing of the glory of God. What's he doing? Going into his tabernacle again. Notice how Luke writes it in Luke 3:21. Now when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also being baptized and praying, the heaven was open. And the Holy Ghost descended in a bodily shape like a dove upon him. And a voice came from heaven which said, "Thou art my beloved Son, in thee I am well pleased." So here we have temple number 4. 4 is the number of earthly deliverance. But God didn't want 4. God wanted more. So now we move to temple 5. 5 is FAITHJESUSGRACE. The spiritual temple, the church. Acts chapter 2. Dates. I love this date here, Brother Terry. Dates from Pentecost to rapture. Woo! Praise God. This is why I don't need to set a date. I'm in the right time frame, so I don't worry about dates. Amen. So now the spiritual temple is again by the impartation of the divine life in temple 4, now coming back in temple 5. But now notice, as we go on, temple 6 will actually be the tribulation temple, which will date from the rapture to Armageddon. Now notice 6 is the number of man. God has nothing to do with this. Oh no, it's not the orchestration of God at all. It is the Jews, many of them that have a great desire, no doubt, but they're fixing to build a house for the devil, not a house of God. That's right. But now notice, as we go from Temple 6, which is destroyed on the last day, maybe, of the tribulation period, then we go to Temple 7. Notice the numerics of God now. We go to Temple 7, which is the temple we just read about, the Millennium Temple, Ezekiel 40 through 48. Now then we move out of 7, and we move where? We move into 8. And we look all over the city and up and down and all around, and the Lord God and the Lamb are the temple thereof. So when we reach there, the cycle of temple worship, the cycle of church worship in the way we know it will have come to its end, and then it will move in where every day is church. Every day is worship. Every day is singing. Every day is at the feet of Adonai, hearing about His great purpose, His great desire. Oh, glory be to God. It is no more new moon or Sabbath, or Sabbath or church three times a week. It's church every day. God bless you. Let's sing. Revelation 21, 22, and I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. Praise God. You understand, if you've got eternity tonight in your soul, you don't have to wait to get to church to call on the Lord. Right? Hey, friends, you've done moved into the eighth day and your soul has already arrived. Praise God. I can call on the name of the Lord at home, at Walmart, sitting in a tire repair place, wherever it is. You know what I'm saying? You can too. We don't have to be here, but you know what? If you love God, you will be here. Oh, praise God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Well, let me read you a couple of scriptures for in the morning, Lord. Matthew 19:27. Then answered Peter and said unto him, Behold, we have forsaken all and followed thee. What shall we have therefore? Jesus said unto them, Verily, I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration, look at this Greek word, new birth, reproduction, renewal, recreation. The production of a new life consecrated to God. Ye which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, ye also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. This is a particular promise now given to the apostles. But yet, you're not excluded because you're not an apostle. We are going to be there. When? In the regeneration. She's been baptized. She repented under Noah. And she cried and cried and cried. And asked God to forgive her for all the sins that was on her. And God baptized her. And the earth come out on the other side. As someone has been dipped in the water, shaking their head, rubbing the water out of their eyes. And the earth come out of her dipping from the presence of God. But it wasn't long till people started sinning in her justified life. Noah the prophet got drunk. Right? Blood of Jesus dripped on her from the cross. Claimed it. Called it as his own. Sin still goes on. In the millennium, sin will be carried over. Ham and the ark. Right? Is that what he said? Question answer 64. Ham and the ark. But when we move into this cycle of the final stage of regeneration, all sin will be annihilated. Ye which have followed me in the regeneration. Listen, saints, you followed him in the regeneration, insomuch that you have been regenerated too. Praise be to God. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Let's pray together, shall we? Oh, Father, how we long, Lord, for this precious day when our Lord Jesus will come back to earth again. You have visited the earth countless of times, no doubt. In the form of theophany, in the form of logos, in a cloud or a fire, you have come to the earth over and over again. And when you come as a man, they hated you, rejected you, and ultimately crucified you. You come back in the form of the Holy Ghost. They're still rejecting you to this day in that form. But Lord, we know you will come back. And when you do, the world will never know it as far as the rapture is concerned. It's a secret coming to catching away of the bride. We'll see our loved ones and all of a sudden we'll be changed. And we'll all be gathered together in another dimension before we rise up into paradise. Praise God. Then at the end of the tribulation, when the marriage supper is over, we will come back down and fight. Amen. In the battle of Armageddon. Then we know the earth already started being purged under the sixth seal. All those living on the earth that are left alive and remaining that have not been killed in the battles of Armageddon and the plagues of the tribulation period will be destroyed. Then, Father, you will finalize what will take place of the stage of regeneration before the millennium. Then, Lord, you'll call for us as we maybe went up into the city for a bit upon high. We'll be beckoned as you finalize. Then the cycle of the reign of the Son of David will start. Maybe the temple work will begin and we'll start building our houses. And who knows how it will be exactly, but one thing after another, according to the order of events, then the heathen will be raised. The dictates of God will come from Jerusalem. And the millennium will set in. Lord Jesus, I pray you'd help each of us here tonight to be here at that great day. Thank you, Father. May you minister to us tonight, Lord. Maybe some need strength for their journey. Several, Lord, sick. Father, you know there's been so much sickness and viruses and this and that and the other going around. I pray for healing for the bodies of your saints, Lord God. In the name of Jesus. Lord, we know every time you perform a divine healing or a miracle in our body, it's a little touch, a prefigure of the body change. Lord, may your healing virtue go to our people, Father. So many, Lord, have been so sick and they've got over one thing and then get another. But Lord God, I ask in the name of Jesus Christ, may you minister healing to your saints, Lord. We worship you tonight, Father. Lord, we don't want to wait to bow our knee at the white throne. We don't want to wait to give our allegiance to Christ in the time of the millennium. We're not going to be forced to go to the house of God. If you don't come up, you won't get no rain. That'll never be said to us. We'll be the first ones there. Because we love going to church now. And we sure are going to love it in the millennium. We love being in your presence. We love hearing your word. We love singing your songs. Lord, it's strange and peculiar, but we even love it when you burn our hide because you know you're getting us ready to leave this world. We love you, Father. We worship you tonight, Lord Jesus. Praise God. Let's sing something together, hey? Oh, don't you want to just love him a little bit before we go? Can we take it just a few more minutes? Praise you, Jesus.
I am watching for the coming of that glad millennial day.
Praise God.
When our blessed Lord will come and
catch you, Lord.
His waiting bride away. Oh, my heart is filled with rapture, as I labor, watch and pray. For our Lord is coming back to earth again.
Everybody with all your hearts now.
Oh, our Lord is coming back to earth again. Yes, our Lord is coming back to earth again. Satan will be bound 1,000 years and will tempt to them. After Jesus shall come back to earth again. Yes, our Lord is coming back to earth again. Yes, our Lord is coming back to earth again.
Satan will be bound 1,000 years. Now sing it, church. Oh, our Lord is coming back to earth again. Our Lord is coming back to earth again. Satan will be bound 1,000 years. We'll have no tempters then.
Jesus coming back will be the answer to her sorrowing cry. For the knowledge of the world shall fill the earth and sky. God shall take away all sickness, and the sufferer's tears will dry. When our Savior shall come back to earth again.
Everybody. Oh, our Lord is coming back to earth again. Satan will be bound 1,000 years. We'll have to
tend to them.
After Jesus shall come back.
Shall come back. We'll sing it one more time tonight. Oh, our Lord is coming back to earth again. Yes, our Lord is coming back to earth again. Satan will be bound 1,000 years. We'll have no tempter then. After Jesus shall come back to earth again.
Amen. Did you enjoy the word of the Lord tonight? Amen. Amen. We could never do enough to deserve His grace tonight. Amen. Come back in the morning believing, expecting. Amen. Looking forward to part two in the morning. Amen. Let's sing that song, See the Bright Light Shine. It's just about home time. Never been this homesick before. Maybe you need.
Oh, there's a light in the window, the table's spread in splendor. Oh, someone standing by the open door. Oh, I can see a crystal river. I must be near forever. I've never been this home. Bright light shine, it's just about home time.
exalt.